You're listening to The Bridge Metro West, located at 7 Strathmore Road in Natick, Massachusetts. For more information about The Bridge Metro West, our weekly Sunday gatherings, and other events, go to www.bridgemetrowest.com.
And the Lord would say, the Bridge family, and everyone who is walking into a new year. The end of 25 and now approaching 26. The Lord would say, come up and make a commitment. Make a true and final commitment. Make a total commitment. The Lord would say, I am asking for you all. I want you all because I want to give you my all, saith the Lord. So if you meet me and walk with me, the strength that you will have in 26 will be double what you had in 25. Double for all your trouble. The Lord would say, thank you. Thank you, Lord. I need that. I need it. I have been so blessed with my time with the Lord. And now living by myself and having my schedule completely open, there are times that I will just walk through the kitchen and hit the floor. And there are times that I will be sitting in my family room looking out of the window. And I can feel the presence of God because God wants to visit us in new ways. God wants to explore and blow your mind. And that's what he is doing for me. Because when we are thinking about those things that we are surrounded by and we are facing daily as we get up, as we go to our jobs, as we go to doctor appointments. I had three this week. And it seems like I told the parking attendant, I say, you know, I only go to church and to doctors. So when Judy called and said about lunch, and Natalie comes out, think about every month, every 6 weeks. So I get to go out to lunch, but I just haven't felt like going out to lunch that much. But the presence of the Lord is my strength. Because in his presence is the joy. And the joy of the Lord is my strength. And so I want to leave with you this morning a message that you will carry all through 2026. Commit to being committed. Did you get that? Commit to being committed. What is commitment? I love Pastor Paul's definition he gave last Sunday, I think it was. He said, commitment is the evidence of sustained faithfulness that flows from a grateful and generous heart. Did you get that? Is the evidence. Evidence is seeing, hearing. You are not just in a place, but you are heard, you are seeing, and you are a representative of Christ. And so it's the evidence of sustained faithfulness that flows from a grateful and generous heart. We have been listening to Pastor Paul about gratitude, and he said commitment, I think, was the underneath that little saying I had, that the power and the path to gratitude is commitment. And I thought about that. Without commitment, everything else is just up for the given, up for the taking. Do what I want, say what I want, when I want to, how I want to. But commitment. The Webster Dictionary says a pledge to do something. A pledge. You make a pledge to do something. That's commitment. Not think about it. Not dream about it, but to do it. And so the scripture we're going to look at this morning is Psalms 37, 5. I had 5 through 11, but I'm not going to read all of that. I want you to read it. But it says, commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will do this for you. Commit your ways to the Lord. Then you can trust him to do what his word has promised. We can cash in on all those promises because we know him. We trust him. And the word of God said, those that know their God, not know of him, but know their God, first will be strong. That's where your strength can come from. When you know God, you will be strong. And you will do great exploits. You will do great things. You won't just do half things, half committed. You will be so committed that you will make it work for you. Being committed, commitment to God. Matthew 12 says, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with your heart. That's a commitment. So then you're committed to God because you have given him your whole heart. He comes first. I used to hear my mother say all the time, put God first. And I would think when I was little, why wouldn't she say, put her husband first, my daddy? But I understood later, when you put your priorities in what the word says, put him first. Acknowledge him, serve him, obey him. Then these things, other things will be added to you. But when you take them out of order, then you are like a mixing bowl with everything thrown in. But when they are in order, if you don't cream the butter and the sugar, you will have a lumpy cake. If you don't add one egg yolk per egg yolk, you will have a bubbly cake. If you throw the milk and flour in together, you have a total mess. And that's why the word says, acknowledge him first, put him first. And these other things will be added unto you. And I used to, my daughter would ask me, she said, but mama, don't you love Daddy? I said, I love him, but he is because there's a God. And God allowed him in his word. It says, when a man finds a wife, he finds a good thing and obtains the favor of the Lord. So I wanted my husband to find me. I didn't want to find him because the word is clear. When a man finds a wife. When a man finds a wife, that's in order. And so, being committed to God, we need to look at that this morning because there are so, let me just say, the Passion Translation give the NIV translation a whole new perspective. It says, give God the right to direct your life, and as you trust him along the way, you will find he pulled it off perfectly. I love that. Perfectly. Not just pull it off, but it's in place. Perfect means perfect. And so let's look at being committed. And what do we do when we are committed? I think of the gymnast that goes to the Olympics and win. When I read that at 3 years old, they start with that indoctrination, that urge, that need, that want to. 3 years old. And then it says 36 hours per week that they dedicate time to perfecting being a gymnast. And then they go on to the Olympics and win. But what did it take? Commitment. How many people are committed to God? God people have made a decision about Jesus, but have never made a commitment to him. You made a decision. You heard about being saved, accepting the Lord as your Father, your head. But did you make a commitment? A lot of people today have made a decision, but have not made a commitment. Because if a commitment is developed and was made, our churches would be full. We would have marriages without divorce. We would have children growing up knowing about the Lord. And when they get older, they will not depart because they've been brought up in the way of the Lord. So when we look in our corporations today, when we look in our families, when we look in the church, and you can tell the minus effect that no commitment, what the results are. Says commitment to your family. Well, commitment to God first. Because see, if you commit to God, these other things will line up. And I used to ask my mother, I said, you and Dad are really working this in. There were six of us, five girls and one boy. And they wanted all of us to be able to go to college. And we worked toward that. We thought about it. We studied. We got scholarships. All of us finished college without a loan. Because my parents were committed for delayed gratification where they could take care of their children and made sure they had made that commitment to each one of us. So commitment to your children, commitment to your family. What does that mean? I think I worked 42 years. I had two daughters. And they were first, the Lord was first, my husband was second, and the kids were third. And because I had them in that order, God blessed each of the steps in the process. I have two daughters, one who's been married, the youngest one, been married, I think, 24 years, and the other one, 21 years. And I have five grandkids. And I said to everybody, I am going to stay here long enough to impart in my grandkids what I did in my kids. I want them, first of all, to know Jesus, to accept him, to live for him, to get a big job and making a lot of money, and your children out there and don't know God. Where did you drop with your commitment to your children? Both of my children and the grandkids, they're all saved, because that was my mission. First the home and then go out. But let's look at our homes, commitment to our families, and then commitment to the church. If you made a commitment to God, that, he said, forsake not to assemble yourself among the saints. That means you come together for strength, for fellowship. I can't miss a Sunday unless I'm really sick, because I need the fellowship. I need togetherness. I need for the iron to sharpen the iron. To stay home is just like my daughter would call and say, it was raining today really bad, and I know you don't drive in the rain. Did you go to church? I said, yep. At night, I won't drive in the rain. I'll get an Uber. But I'll come from Peabody in an Uber before I miss church. So if my commitment is to the Lord, I want everything he has for me. Assembling myself with the saints, hearing the word of God, and serving in whatever capacity that God has called me to. And so when I look at a commitment to the church, I think of Winnie and Bob. When I came here 12 years ago, they were serving communion. Every Sunday up here serving communion. Commitment, others see commitment. Now, if they would come to me and say, you know, Pastor Vernon, I'm really committed. I'm committed. Oh, am I committed? And I never see any activity around commitment. I just said, well, that was a lot of talk. Oh, they want to be committed, but they haven't made the decision. But they were the first I saw serving, and they still serve. And I'm sure there are times, and I know they are glad now others have come aboard, because they were doing it every Sunday. But it didn't stop them. That's commitment. And Judy, whatever her hands find to do, she is doing it. From cleaning the bathroom to washing the dishes, putting the food out, welcoming the people, new people, finding out who's new here, and making sure they meet other members. That's commitment. But when you breeze in and out and no commitment, you made a decision, but you didn't make a commitment. You made a decision to accept Christ as your Savior, and you did not make a commitment. No one has to tell anybody who's committed. All you have to do is just look and watch. That's what spells commitment. Actually doing, actually involved, actually getting. You may be visiting, then you decide to come here. So once you decide, don't wait for anybody to ask you. You ask them. You say, I've been praying about it. I've been attending here. And the Lord is saying this. Is that area, what kind of help do you need? That's walking in the doors with commitment first. And so all of us have something to offer. God did not pass out, Renee, you have this. Rhonda, you have this. Lenore, I'm not giving you anything. Elizabeth, no, I'm going to pass you too. Nancy, yeah, I give you something. That's not God. God gave all of us gifts. But if we never put them to use, I wanted to say one Sunday, Winnie, maybe I can do it this Sunday. Because, you know, every Sunday, the commitment was there. So I'm sure they didn't lie in bed and say, oh, I don't think I'll go today. Because they made a commitment to the church, to the process, to an area that they could serve the Lord in. Yeah, you're serving Him when you're here and you're praising and worship. But where is your proof? No one has to say Lee is committed. No, I don't think he is. Well, Jennifer is. No, she isn't either. It speaks for itself. And so Winnie and Bob never said from the beginning, you know, I serve communion. I take care of that. I do that. I just see them, and they're always here. So if a gymnast can spend 36 hours a week and start, the general age group is starting at 3 years old. Do you know when they reach going to the Olympics how much time they have put in? Woo! They should win first place. That's a lot of commitment. And when my daughter first, she thought she wanted to skate. And she had to get up early in the morning, be over. She got time around 5 o'clock on the ice. And little by little, this is for the birds. The commitment wasn't there. Looking at it sound good, seemed good. But getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning, whatever ice time is available, she said, that's for the birds. Are you saying that's for the birds? Or have you asked God, what can I do because I'm committed? You will find a place to work. Because I think Bob and Winnie would be lost if they weren't serving. I think they would be. Brookings and I went out with them the first year we were here to a play, a biblical play. And I saw them, the hours and time that they put in bringing that biblical play and production to the town that they were in and surrounding time. All of that time, all of that commitment. But it follows through right into the church, from the community to the church. So I don't have to ask about their family. I know there's commitment there because it follows through. But when there's no commitment here, there's no commitment over here. And so I want you to think about that. Galatians 6, 9, and 10 said, let us not become weary in doing good. For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. A harvest is guaranteed. In Galatians 6, it guarantees you will get a harvest. When my father was a farmer, and he planted cotton and corn, he knew he expected to get a harvest. He put in the time working the farm, where 1 acre of cotton was good farming. My father put so much time and effort in there, he was making 2 bales to the acre because he was a farmer and he put everything into doing the best job. How many jobs are you doing good, poor, or fair? Commitment is one of those things that I believe is really missing in the world today. It's certainly missing in the corporation. I worked there 35 years. I saw people who were there for a paycheck. I saw other people were there to develop their careers and move on. I saw others who said, I want to learn this where the next job I get, I can benefit from what I'm learning here. So do you know if you start with God, what those talents He's given you, start with that? I really believe God increases or adds talents to you. Now, one thing I always wanted to do was sing. He haven't added that one yet. And I'm 85, so I said, well, I can speak. And I was in corporate communication. I was a spokesman for the company. So I said, thank you, Lord, for this gift. And I used that. I didn't sit down and cry because I wasn't a singer. If I hear myself sometime, I'll close my mouth. I'm just not a singer. But that I know God has gifted me with, I'm going to use that. And I'm going to do my best in it. I'm going to give it everything that it has. The example I have, which really, it speaks for itself with the statistics, Joshua and Caleb. There was real commitment with these brothers. 40 years, think about that. We go 40 hours and the prayer haven't been answered. And we calling up everybody, I haven't gotten an answer yet. Will you pray harder? Will you pray some more? Here they were out there 40 years. And they were in the wilderness all that time, wandering around, going toward what God had told them to do. But they started out with 603,000 soldiers. 603,000. Every year of those years, they would have 15,000 to drop out. The commitment left, or it wasn't there in the beginning. So when you drop out, you are a statistic that said, forget that. And so he and Caleb finished the race. 40 years in the wilderness. All the grumbling, all the complaints, all the headaches, everything from the people that he was leading, he stuck with it. And somebody talked about us one time and we want to leave the church. He had 40 years of hearing this every day. I'm sure Bob and Winnie probably had people tell them, oh, you could do this, you could improve this if you did that. Why don't you try this? And they just stuck to it. And they just made the commitment before God and they fulfilled. And that's what Caleb, with all the stumbling blocks, these two men every year would see people walk away, turn. And I'm sure some of them said, this is for the birds. I'm tired. All this time. And some of them were saying, I read one commentary that some of them said, didn't we pass by this last week? Are we making circles? I saw this bush last time I came by here. I'm going in circles. And I like that when the Passion Translation take you a little bit further into looking at what was happening in the scriptures. And I thought about that. I bet people were saying, ah, I saw this bush last time. We're not making any progress. We're just going round and round a circle. I'm leaving here. So you know why it's easy to leave? Because the commitment haven't been made. You made a decision to join the church. You made a decision to follow Christ, but you didn't make a commitment, so you couldn't get all that God had for you. I think about little Teresa. I call her little because she and I are the oldest. I think we still have, but I think she's a few months older than me. Yeah. Teresa? Yeah. But Teresa is still on mission trips. Do you know she told me she rode up this mountain on a camel? For me to hear her talk about it, I was scared. I said, Teresa, she said, well, they said don't look down, and I just kept looking forward. But her commitment to taking the word and serving the people of God went beyond her fear, and she trusted God, and she made it back. She's here. So, but when she was saying, pray for me, I'm going to be on this camel, I was like, oh, God, I hope you hear all these prayers because we want Teresa to come back. But her commitment, after her prayer and her commitment, she said, oh, I'm going. And I just said, Lord, bless her. But Joshua was the one that was chosen by God to replace Moses as a spiritual shepherd over Israel. You know why? Because he proved himself to God that God could depend on him. God could trust him. And when he said he was going to do something, God knew he was going to do it. He didn't get this excuse, called up and said, well, you know, it's really raining hard today. I really don't like getting out there in that heavy rain. But he was so faithful and so committed that he was chosen by God as a shepherd over Israel. What are you being chosen for by God? Do God talk to you? Does God talk to you? I'm always asking him, Lord, there's more. I'm still alive. There's more. And so being committed to your church, to your family, to your job, to the Lord, I'm just going to share a little testimony because I was asking God. I said, God, you bless me so much. I can't help but be grateful and thankful. I try not to complain because I am a blessed person. I was always before God. I was reared in a home that my mother and my father would get in the truck and ride around the boundaries of our farm. And she would pray and drop blessed oil for a bumper crop. And we, the land right next to us, the road that divided, worms that would eat up cotton bulbs, they would come across the road and make a turn back. Would not come to our land. The one across the road didn't make an acre, a bale to an acre. We made two bales to an acre, which what they call in cotton farming good living. Because a bale to the acre would give you your needs for your family and pay your bills. But two bales for the acre? My mother was praying that there would be money for all six of her kids to go to college. We were farmers and all of us went. Had no loans when we came out. Prayers, commitment. And so another way of committing to the Lord is in the scripture, where it says, bring all your tithes and offering into the storehouse. I grew up a little child getting a dollar or 50 cents knowing I had to tithe that. Lenore and I was talking, and she was picking cotton up, working. She had to take out of her money and put it in a jar where she could put it in an envelope and put it in the church on Sunday. Picking cotton, working in the field, she gave God her tithes and offering. Commitment. I have never missed tithes and offering, and I never will. As long as I have an income coming in, it will be tithe. You don't get too poor not to tithe. And one thing I asked God for, I said, Lord, both of my daughters finished college. Both of them have a doctorate, have no loans. And I said, Lord, show me what I can do more Not that you're blessing me and I just keep it and keep it, but what can I do more of? And guess what he told me? He said, start naming your seeds. Name your seed. Hannah named her seed. She named a seed for a son. O Lord of hosts, if you will, give to your servant a son, then I will give him back to you all the days of his life. Hannah sold a vow, her son Samuel, before he was even born, she had dedicated him back to the Lord. And so God said, look at mission field, look at individual people, and I will show you what to sow a seed into. And my daughter, this was several years ago, she was interviewing for this job, CEO of the Baltimore Public School. And I taught them not just the job, but where God wants you. Because you can get the best job, and it's not where God wants you. You're going to have headaches before you get there. And so I want what God has for me. And so she made this commitment. And God said to me, sow into Sonia's this job that she's going for. She will be retiring there after 10 years as CEO. They gave her, she's gotten 3 national awards, and it listed the things that she had accomplished there. And when she was interviewed, she always says, I always acknowledge the Lord. I didn't lean to my understanding, having a school system of 99,000 kids. I had to acknowledge God. And so I sowed a seed into her, always acknowledging God, never doing something on her own. Never listen to colleagues. You can listen to a lot of people, but after you get all that input, go back to God and let him outline what's. Because there are several people in my family and others that I have met the person that they thought they were going to marry, and God would say, no, 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 no. No, no, no. And I had a young lady in my family who was dating a young man, and I met him. I said, never in this family. Never. And guess what? He broke it up. He said, I'm too good for you. He said, you're too good. You're too good for me. And she said, no, I'm not. Why you say that? He said, I can't mess over you. It's something about you. Let's just be friends. We're in the black organization here on campus. Let's be friends, but no, I can't mess over you. He broke it up. Why? Because mama was praying. I knew he wasn't for, and I tell my spiritual daughter, I said, you better not let me meet the guy you think you're going to get married. Because if God said no, no, I'm going to tell you no, no, no. And I think, I'm telling on Dan. Lenore said, if mama don't say yes, this is over. And he said, really? She said, really? And so again, every seed that I target, it's a giving your seed an assignment. And there was a scripture there I wanted to. Hannah sowed a vow for her son Samuel before he was even born. She named her desire before the Lord, and he answered her. That's the word. we can name our desire. We don't have to just take what's what. I examined and kept praying for both of my daughters. One been married 24 and a half years, and the other one 21 years. And my nephew told the young lady he was getting engaged to, he said, well, I want to say one thing. In the Brookings family, there's no divorce, so you better think about it before you say you're going to marry me, because the Brookings family don't divorce. She said, really? He said, really? And he was letting her know, let's think this thing over, because it's just not a couple of years and then we don't like it. We're out of here. She said, commitment. That's what I've seen. And I can go back to my great-great-grandmother, to my mother, to me, and then my daughters. There are no divorces. Because I said to them, think about what you're doing. Pray about this young man. Don't just because he got a good job and he looks good. That doesn't move me. You can be a movie star and you can make all the money. Your paycheck doesn't move me. What moved me with Brookings was his commitment. And I saw it in his family. I saw it in his brothers and sisters. And then I dated him long enough to decide myself. Oh, this man will take care of me. He will be a father for our kids. And I can depend on him. But I met him in school. He got an education. So, yeah, he can make good money. Boom, boom, boom. Good money isn't boom, boom, boom. If you got good money and you are unhappy, you would rather be by yourself. And I always said, I can be bad all by myself. I don't have to get nobody to help me be bad. I can make a decision and say, well, this doesn't work this way. But I've made a commitment. And so the example of Hannah asking God, making a vow, I want you to think about it. But as God directs you, because I ask God, and so if God tell me an amount of money to give, to sow into a mission for this, and I sowed into a mission for my niece, who I knew this guy wasn't for her, I wanted to say, get out of here, scoundrel. But I just prayed. And then she said to me, Aunt Verna, what have you seen? I said, tell me first, what have you seen? She said, I don't think I should marry him. I said, you got it. I had her. She knew what she had seen, but he had a good job, good money in the bank, had bought a house, all those things that you're looking for. But she said no. And in 3 weeks, he married somebody else. Now tell me if that isn't a mark for you to look at. 3 weeks, it's like, oh, you won't, somebody else will. So are you committed to your family, your children, your church? And one, I think, personal growth, being committed to personal growth. You don't want to just stay where you are. You want to move up. You want a closer relationship with God. You want that intimacy. I say into me for intimacy. I want a relationship with God that I can go before him knowing that I'm going to get an answer. I don't have to lean to my own understanding. My favorite scripture is, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to your own understanding, Vernon. You don't have any understanding. You can't see what's down the road. You don't know it. Before you were born, God knew what was coming. So ask him and let him do the directing. And I go by that daily. Everything, I acknowledge the Lord But some things we know ourselves that it's not of the Lord. But we think we can really get God to change his mind. And sometimes we'll ask people, wanting them to say what you want them to say. But don't ask me if you don't want me to say what God is saying. Because I'm not going to make you feel good. I'm going to tell you the truth. Because we have too many divorces. We have too many homes broken. We have too many people leaving jobs. Well, that man just made me mad. I don't have to take this. And I don't work for a year. Because they couldn't take anything. You know, the one thing I thought about when I got mad on my job, my daughter was at Brown. And I said, boy, if I get mad and walk off this job, she's going to get her degree on $200,000. So, Verna, can't you just take whatever you're taking? Can't you just believe God? Stay on this job, and when she graduates, she won't owe a dime. But I could have been hot-headed and said, I don't have to take this. I show them, I'll leave. And she would have said, oh, I have to go to the loan office. So think about, how committed are you? Are you committed to your church, your giving? Because every time there are five things, and I don't have time to go through them, that I made a commitment to, and it paid off, as the Passion Scripture says, perfectly. I made a commitment. You've heard me say my oldest grandchild was believing God for a job in New York. And I wanted her to accept one here and then later go to New York. She said, no, I'm praying. I know God is going to give me a job in New York. And she did. She got a job. She loves her job. She loves her apartment. She got the money she was looking for because she knew the God that could do that for her. And so where's your commitment today? Are you going to be with Caleb and Joshua and stay in the race regardless how many people drop out? How many people said, this is for the birds. I can't wait anymore. No, I need it now. Are you going to stay there? The only thing I had going for me was God told me when my husband passed, Verna, I will walk with you closer than ever. I will never leave you. So when I felt alone, when I felt like crying, and when I cried, I remember God said he would never leave me. Not forsake me. And so I would pull on him. I would fall in his presence. And I was asking Lenore this morning, I said, I'm into the second year now. September was a year. But the second year, it's another hurdle. I'm sure, can't call your name right now, but Brown, Karen. I'm sure Karen, as a therapist, could identify that. What that second year is like. And she's probably had people she has worked with. But it's different from the first year. But I can say one thing. God has proven himself over and over and over again. And I know he will continue to walk with me through. I've never lived by myself. I had a roommate in college. I had sister roommate when I was at home. When I went to work, I had a roommate. I've never been by myself. And I've spent, 14 months by myself. And sometimes it does get hard. But I remember what God's word says. He'll never leave me. So he's always there when I think I hear noise at night. I say, I'm going to sleep. Whatever that is, God knows what it is. And I just turn over and go to sleep. Because I cannot bring worry in, as Nancy always saying, worry casts out faith. And if you let that spirit in where you are harboring what it is suggesting, you have given it an opening. And so you have to go back and close that opening where that spirit can get out of there. And that's what I've been doing. So when I feel like that or when I see it, I go back and close the door where I can walk in his fullness. And so I want to leave with you today that I want you to make a commitment that you are going to look for opportunities to put your talents and abilities to work. Don't wait for someone to ask you. Volunteer to help. If we all make those commitments today, the church would be a different place. The church would be what the Lord intended it to be. Can you make that commitment today? Can you make a commitment to say, I am committing to be committed? Committed, commit to be committed. Leave with that thought. What do I need to pull up to? I'm always asking, God, show me my life. What area I need to pull up? What area I need strengthening in? Grow. I'm all about growing. What area are you growing in? And so when you make that commitment, God meets you. Hand in hand, you walk with him. And so whether it's church, whether it's soul winning, whether it's your children, your family, whatever it is, make that commitment today. Say, Lord, I want 2026 to be, as we call it in the cotton belt, a bumper year. I want a bumper year. I don't want to just exist. I don't want things to just be okay. I want to have a bumper crop. I'm going to commit myself completely to you, God. And you said you're going to give me what I am in search of and what I am committed to and what I'm doing. So here I go into 26 with a whole newfound guideline that I'm going to get everything that God has for me. I'm going to walk in that path that God has designed for me to walk. Okay. How many of you really feel that you are going to check God out differently in 26? Yes. Okay.
Thank you for listening to this message from the Bridge Metro West in Natick, Massachusetts. Paul David Guidry is the senior pastor at the Bridge. For more information about the Bridge Metro West family, our gatherings and events, visit www.bridgemetrowest.com or call us at 508-651-0277.